It is a pleasure to continue our study in the book of Proverbs. At this time, we are still in the 10th chapter of Proverbs and ready to begin at the 26th verse. This 26th verse contains one of the Proverbs. It reads, "As vinegar to the teeth, and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him." To be a sluggard is to be lazy. Lazy is defined as disliking or avoiding work or other activity. Those that are lazy, that love their ease and will not apply their minds to any other business, are not fit to be employed. They're not even qualified to be sent on an errand, for they will not perform the purpose of their mission or return back with needed information. Such are also not fit to be workers in the Lord's vineyard. Christ does not claim to send sluggards into his harvest. Those who are guilty of making the mistake of trusting sluggards with any business and putting confidence in them will certainly have disappointment with them. Those who put confidence in a sluggard will have a discomfort like vinegar to the teeth or smoke to the eyes. It becomes a provocation much like vinegar sets the teeth on edge. It brings grief to see his business neglected and undone as smoke causes tears in the eyes. So let us again read this verse 26, "As vinegar to the teeth, and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him." We always have teaching against being a sluggard. Verse 27, another proverb. "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." To have the fear of the Lord is to have the reverential respect for God that the creature should have for the Creator. This fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, according to Proverbs 1:7, and it is to hate evil, according to Proverbs 8:13. As a matter of fact, all the qualities of a godly person could be associated with a fear of the Lord. So here in verse 27, we are told that the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. So to obey God lengthens the lives of humans and fulfills their hopes. Does a person love life? Let him fear God. That will protect him from many things which could adversely affect his life on earth, and it will secure to him the kind of life in this world which would lead to eternal life in the next world. The fear of the Lord will eventually add days which will endlessly be prolonged into eternity. But wickedness shortens the lives of humans and kills their hopes. The years of the wicked that are spent in the pleasure of sin and the drudgery of the world shall be shortened, and they have no hope of eternal years of pleasure in eternity. So again, let us read verse 27. "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." A very simple, concise statement that contains so much truth. Next we read verse 28, which is another proverb. "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish." The word glad means pleased and happy. So it is very valid and real for the righteous to hope for a state of being pleased and happy. Not only will the righteous have many days, but they will have many happy days. They shall have what they hope for, to their unspeakable satisfaction. In a word, this will eventually be heaven itself. In Romans 8, verses 24 and 25, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." So it is something future and as yet unseen that they place their happiness in. Not what they have in hand, but what they have in hope. Their hope will shortly be transferred into reality, and it will be their everlasting gladness. Then will be heard the invitation, "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord," according to Matthew 25:21. Yet the hopes of the wicked are not so. They are really false hopes. Whatever comfort of satisfaction a wicked person promises himself, in this world or in the other, he will be prevented from receiving. The expectation of the wicked shall perish, the proverb says. His hope shall be turned into endless despair, which is actually a loss of all hope. So we read the proverb again, verse 28. "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish." Next proverb is in verses 29 and 30, which say, "The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. Here again, as in verses 27 through 28, we have shown to us the happiness of the godly and the misery of the wicked. It is necessary that the Word of God repeatedly remind us of this fact, because we are so slow to believe and consider that there is a vast gulf between the end state of the righteous and the wicked. The way of the Lord is the spiritual path in which God directs us to walk. This way is strength to the upright. It is the very best way for humans to be in. All of God's dealings with persons who are in the way of the Lord, both merciful and chastening, serve to make them more aware of their duty and to strengthen them against their discouragements. He puts it very simply, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright. The closer we keep to that way, the more easy we find it to proceed in that way, as we are better fitted for service and for sufferings. The longer one walks in the way of the Lord, the easier it becomes. A good conscience, kept pure from sin, gives a person courage in a dangerous time, and proper attention to duty makes a person's work easier in a busy time. The more we do for God, the more we're able to do. Job 17, verse 9, the righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. The joy of the Lord, which is to be found only in the way of the Lord, will be our strength. Consequently, the psalm says the righteous shall never be removed, verse 30. Nehemiah 8 and 10 says, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Those that have an established walk in the way of the Lord have an established peace and happiness which can never be taken away from them. They have an everlasting foundation, according to verse 25. But the workers of iniquity shall have certain ruin and destruction. The wicked shall not only not inherit the earth, though they lay up their treasure in it, but they shall not so much as inhabit the earth. God's judgment will root them out. This no doubt refers to life after death. But destruction, swift and sure destruction, shall be to the workers of iniquity. This is destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. In fact, that way of the Lord which is the strength of the upright is destruction and terror to the workers of iniquity. The same gospel which is to the one a savor of life unto life is to the other a savor of death unto death. The same providence, like the same sun, softens the one and hardens the other. Hosea 14:9, who is wise, and he shall understand these things, prudent, and he shall know them, for the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Psalm 37, verses 9 through 11, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So again, let's read verses 29 and 30. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. Our next proverb is found in verses 31 and 32, which read, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Here again, humans are judged of and accordingly are justified or condemned by their words. Matthew 12:37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. If a person speaks wisely and well, that is proof of his goodness and wisdom, and it is a cause for praise to that individual. A good person, as he speaks, brings forth wisdom for the benefit of others. Because he is righteous, God gives him wisdom as a reward. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 26, for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail. And of course, the righteous person uses that wisdom to edify and to do good. The righteous person knows what is acceptable and what speech is pleasing to God, and what will be most beneficial to the hearers. He tailors his speech to make it the most valuable for the occasion. He brings forth wisdom from his own source of wisdom, which is God's Word. But when a wicked person speaks, his speech is sin and will be the ruin of him. The proverb says, "The mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness." This is that which is displeasing to God and brings harm to those who listen. What is the result of this kind of speech? The froward tongue shall be cut out, he says, as surely as the flattering one. In Psalm 12, verse 3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. So let us again read this proverb found in verses 31 and 32. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Again, emphasizing the importance of the use of the tongue. The proper use of the tongue and the improper use of the tongue will both bring consequences to us, either good or bad. This proverb brings to an end Proverbs chapter 10.